I like, you know who I like is Sneaky Captain tonight, by the way.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Will Shipley. You could like to, I don't know.
Do you remember what we were saying a second ago about false hope, Jeff? Will Shipley and the captain is not going to be your $1 million score. I'm telling you right now.
Clip that, because if I'm right, I'll be using that one on you forever.
Welcome to Low Rollers, NFL Day One edition. We made it. We survived the offseason. Now we begin 5 months of staring at our phones for updates and occasionally glancing up at our TVs. I'm Eric Raskin, joined as always by Jeff Edelstein. We are writers slash editors slash podcasters for Casino Reports, In-Game, Lottery Geeks, and in Jeff's case, props.com. Subscribe, give us a five-star rating, tell a friend. Jeff, I know you hate the end of summer. It makes you
I
sad. We've
do.
discussed
It
this,
does.
but
Yes.
come on now, the start of football. Doesn't that compensate for the end of summer?
It's honestly, and this is not a bit, it's as close to I will get to actually believing that there is a God in heaven, for
Okay.
granting the beginning of for Thursday night football begins the football season after Monday, Labor Day ends the summer. So I only had to get through 2 days of,
Right.
the before.
And
Some
not to be too atheist about this, but God had nothing to do with it. That's the NFL's business plan and schedule makers.
But maybe, let's roll that back. The NFL business plan schedule makers were inspired by God. So you don't know.
Okay, they are religious people, you're
You don't
saying,
know.
in the
I, who
NFL front
knows? I don't
office.
know.
Okay,
I'm
all
not,
right,
I don't
you're
know.
right.
I don't believe in God, because from like Valentine's Day to like Memorial Day, I'm like ready to like jump off a fucking bridge.
Right.
But so like, we're closing in. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
God or no God, coming up shortly, we're going to have an interview with XST Capital founder and CEO Joel Simkins. Great interview, by the way. He's a great guy. But
Yeah.
before we get there, let's get to the news.
All right. And you're not going to believe this, Jeff, but there's a lot of prediction market news to discuss this week.
I'm not shocked.
three particularly big stories we need to talk about. First, Underdog is getting into the game. They've partnered with Crypto.com as their quote unquote tech provider to offer prediction markets. But interestingly, only in the 16 states without legal online sports betting. Second item, Kalshi has self-certified. What a world. Self-certifying. We're all doomed. Anyway, they are going to be offering bets with multiple components, which sounds a lot like parlays. And on a related note, Polymarket has also shown interest in parlays, opening a Discord channel on Monday to solicit parlay ideas. And speaking of Polymarket, that's our third item here. Their CEO, Shane Coplin, declared Wednesday that they have been cleared by the CFTC to operate in the U.S. All this news came in the 2 days after Labor Day. Covering this industry has become so much less fun than it used to be. Wish someone could just pay me millions for a no-show job like Kawhi Leonard. That would be nice. Anyway, Jeff, what's jumping out at you here?
I mean, what's
I
jumping
feel
out at
like
me?
every time we do prediction markets news, you start with a sigh.
Yes. First of all, I'm kind of surprised that the underdog news didn't get as much big play as I thought it would, should have, didn't, because they are the first sports book. They are a sports book in a handful of states to actually now be offering prediction markets. I think that's a, and while it's not in the same state, I think
Right.
that's an actual leap that kind of gone underreported somehow. We're all breathlessly covering the prediction markets in this industry, and yet here we are with the first sports book to actually make the leap. And it's like, okay, we'll get to it when we get to it, kind of story,
Right.
So
I don't know how
that's
much whether
interesting.
and that has anything to do with just sort of the tech provider sort of
Maybe, maybe
caveat.
not.
But yeah.
I don't know. But I mean, and it's interesting that they chose the 16 states without sports books,
Yeah.
because it's interesting for a few reasons. One, because I think they're hoping that it will avoid the regulators in the states with sports books, that they'll avoid any, nonsense, back and forth. And also, it's like, we've been sitting here waiting for California and Texas for 8 years. I don't think anything is going to be happening in California and Texas anytime soon. I just, I mean, certainly not in Texas.
Right.
and probably not in California.
Yeah,
So,
I think in both states now you're like 2030 is about the earliest that you're really thinking about it for either of those states, probably.
if I'm underdog, listen, we know Jeremy Levine, no dummy. This guy knows what he's doing. I almost think that underdog might here talk about a bold prediction. I
Okay.
almost think that underdog might be positioning themselves as the default sports book for California and Texas and other states residents, because again, we go back to PASPA. Nobody saw FanDuel and DraftKings coming, but they had this deep list of DFS players. Underdog is exactly the same. They have a deep list of best ball and DFS plus players.
Right.
I'd have to imagine that if they could build a quote unquote prediction market looking thing that looks and feels like a sports book, I think they're going to do pretty well for themselves,
Yeah,
right?
I think you're right. I think their approach here is probably the smart one. They are ceding some ground to competitors by not being in all 50 states, but as you point out, they're going to be in the two states that probably matter the most.
Sure.
And yeah, I mean, some would say, move fast, break things, be in all the states, let them stop you. But I think this sort of measured approach makes a lot of sense. And
It
yeah, they're
feels
gonna.
like it's an interesting approach, and I'm sure it's been definitely gone over by the scholars, and you know what I'm saying? Like,
Meaning lawyers and PR people and everyone else on staff.
and Talmudic, like everybody, like the whole, if you're a scholar, you might want to take a look at this because nobody knows what's going to happen. Like we all know that. So I think this is a good half measure that underdog has taken there. So that's underdog. As far as Kalshi offering parlays and Polymarket offering parlays, I've been working on very slowly a story about how pros are using these markets, and the short answer is there's just not a lot of liquidity out there. That's what I'm being told.
Right.
Now, one thing that's interesting that hasn't really happened yet, Kalshi, they haven't really, I think I might mention this later, but where's that $5,000 sign up bonus?
Right.
Are they going to get into that? Are they going to start doing that? I imagine so. But like until then, I don't see. Again, I don't want to stomp on our interview, but like, it's not as big outside of our world as we
Right.
think it may be. So I'm not sure really, I almost feel the more players that get into it, the more diluted it's going to become.
Okay.
And I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to once again say I don't know, because nobody knows what's going to happen here.
Right.
But the fact that like we are here, right? I think what Underdog did makes sense. I think what FanDuel may or may not do makes sense. I think what DraftKings may or may not do makes sense. I think you got to kind of have your toes in the water
Yeah.
and see what happens. I mean, I think, I've said it once and a million other times, this whole prediction market thing will eventually end up in front of the United States Supreme Court.
Right.
I don't see a way it doesn't. And if depending on how long that takes, and the health or relative health of certain members of the court and of the presidency,
Right.
if it goes to the Supreme Court today, it's a slam dunk, I
Right.
think.
Six 3 without even thinking about it. Yep.
So you have to plant your seeds, I think,
Yeah.
and roll the dice a bit.
Yeah. So just on the parlay thing, I still do not understand quite how the parlays are going to work, because it sounds from reading what Kalshi self-certified to do, it sounds like you need someone to take the opposite side of each leg, but if that's the case, then it would seem the payouts don't multiply exponentially the way they do with a normal parlay. Maybe I'm just not getting it, but like I would think the way it has to work is if I'm taking Eagles on the spread, the over, and a Jalen Hurts touchdown tonight, and that's like plus 500, then someone has to go minus 500 that at least one leg fails. That if that's how it's set up, that I could understand, but betting on or against each component, which is how it's been explained. I don't
I
know.
don't
I don't quite get it. But still, to you and everyone else who said they're going to do parlays, just watch, they're going to do parlays, and I wasn't so sure they would. You were right. I was wrong. They're doing parlays.
I guess that, yeah. I mean, anyone on Kalshi, anybody could make a market, right? So maybe
Right.
their market makers will just create the parlays, right? And they'll be, like the I'll offer, Hertz, Eagles, and money line or whatever at whatever I want to offer it at, and
Right.
I'm booking it. So, and then you want to take it. You don't want to take
Right.
it,
So
then
may
I
yeah,
go
and
with
maybe
that.
I'm just not understanding this like individual component sort of part, but that I mean it just sounds like that you have people taking the other side of each leg, which then does the math doesn't
That doesn't, yeah,
work
that I
out.
don't
So I don't know.
understand, but we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we will.
Time will tell, certainly. But yeah, I don't know. I mean,
Time will tell is a better way of saying I don't know. I like
it
time will
sounds,
tell
yeah.
as a conclusion for you.
Time will tell. I don't know. Yeah, either works.
Let's
I guess
go
I
with
sound
time will tell.
smarter. I
Yeah.
sound a little bit smarter.
Right. You
Right.
sound like time will tell is I don't know, but I will know.
Right. I don't know is just all.
Right.
Yeah, I don't
Let's
know.
go with time. No. Stop that.
Oh,
No.
so no
I'm
more.
trying to help you here, Jeff. No more I don't
Gotcha.
know. It's
No
time
more.
will
I don't
tell.
know. All right, let me try it. Time will tell. I don't
You said the I don't know again.
It's hard to break a
It's all
habit.
right. You'll work on that in your downtime when we're not
Yeah.
recording.
Yeah.
All right. One other news item to discuss today in the gambling world, Powerball. Nobody won last night. That's the 41st time in a row that nobody won, tying the Powerball record. And so the jackpot for Saturday is an estimated $1.7 billion. And the way things have been going, possible it'll ultimately be more like 1.8 billion by the time Saturday rolls around. And that means if nobody wins on Saturday, on Monday, we will be looking at the largest U.S. lottery jackpot of all time. The current record is
Yeah.
$2.04 billion. That'll definitely be surpassed with one more rollover. Jeff, I understand you were a big winner the other day, right?
No, I did get I invested $10 in the Powerball, and I received $4 back, so I
You
wouldn't
had a
consider myself a
profitable
big winner.
ticket. You were a winner.
Well, I lost money on the whole deal, so let's just be clear about that.
Fine, fine.
Here's a legitimate question for you. This is no joke.
Okay.
You win this. Do you tell your kids? I don't think I do. Your kid's a little bit older. I don't think I do. I think I go anonymous, and I don't tell anybody, and I don't think I change very much in my life. I know that's fucking crazy. I'd quit
All
my
right.
job. I'd stop
Right.
working,
Right.
but like I don't want my kids are 16, 14, 11. I don't want them thinking that they don't have to do shit.
I get that impulse, but I am going to change my life. I am going to quit my job. Maybe not
Right.
immediately, but pretty damn soon.
Sure.
I am going to buy a couple of nicer houses, and my kids would pick up on, gee, why do we suddenly live like million multimillionaires? And I'm not going to not live like a multimillionaire, at least a little bit.
Right.
So no, my kids are finding out. I am certainly choosing anonymity if I can. I can't even remember what the rules are in Pennsylvania for that. I think Pennsylvania is not an anonymous state, but so I'm gonna
Here's
have
the
to keep,
thing.
yeah.
If I was 16 years old and my parents won $1.7 billion and I knew that that was it, like I'd be I'm this is not an exaggeration. I would 1,000% be dead right now. I would not
Okay.
have made it. I
All
wouldn't have
right,
made it.
that's you. I'm not quite so concerned about my kids. They,
Right.
the pressure will be off certainly to have successful careers, get jobs, etc. But I feel like I'm okay letting them know we won the lottery
I
and our
think
lives
the
have changed and still try and go out
I
there and make
guess
something of yourself.
the only I guess I would say I'm rich, you're not.
Yeah, until they murder you to inherit their millions.
Yeah, I don't
I
know.
think you want to share the money with them to prevent the murder.
Honestly, I'd
You don't
almost
want to
rather
get
just win the
Menendez'd.
No. I'd almost rather just win the Millie Maker than the Powerball.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so as you want to hit the five white balls, but not the Powerball. That's what you're really rooting for.
Maybe I'll buy the multiplier then, because I think if I think if you gave me $3 million right now, I'd be done. Like I'm gold. I don't I'm
Right.
put in the bank at 4.5%, whatever. Like I'm
Yeah,
fine. I'm done. I don't
that's
need
all you
to
need.
worry anymore.
Sure.
1.7 billion is like a, that's like a crazy fucking number.
It's an absurd number. Yeah, it's like you can't really wrap your mind around it.
No.
And okay, so let's do so. For the record, I've never in my life personally bought a lottery ticket. I've gone in on some groups, but
Right.
I've been gifted scratch cards, but I've never bought a lottery ticket. I do think maybe that changes this weekend. I feel like I gotta head over to the 7-Eleven and just spend $10, buy five tickets, right?
Right.
So let's make a deal, Jeff. If I win 1.7 billion, I'm giving you 1 million, and vice versa. Do we
All right.
can we agree on that? Shake over Zoom.
Let's say 2 million cash. That way we're both done. 2 million cash is enough to
Okay.
just be
If
done with
either
it.
of us wins the whole jackpot, we are
Yes.
promising the other 2 million in cash.
Yes. I
All
think we
right, it's a
could,
deal.
because right now it's 770 million in the cash, you know, if you take
Right.
the
Right.
lump sum. So
Right.
that's two out of
I can spare
770. That's like two, that's
a quarter
like,
of a percent,
yeah.
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All
It's
right.
nothing.
Yeah,
All
it's
right.
nothing. All right,
We're
deal.
this is it's official.
All right.
2 million cash.
Cash, I understand.
Cash. All
Once
right.
the winner has the cash in hand.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
This is a binding agreement.
I'm bound. We are
Yep.
bound.
We're bound.
Okay. And we are bound to win. And so, that means one of us may be retired by this time next week, or both of us even.
Yeah, both of us are done. So for the last time, why don't you introduce our interview?
That's what I was going to say. Let's transition into what is probably going to be the final interview in Low Rollers history. Venture capital and finance and investing, these are topics that tend to go over my head. But sports betting and football and gaming apps, those are subjects I understand. Our guest this week stands at the intersection of all these topics. He's the founder and CEO of XST Capital, which just last week released the latest edition of The Playbook, a deep dive into what's happening in the sports betting sector on the eve of NFL season. He is Joel Simpkins. Joel, welcome to Low Rollers.
Great to be here with you guys today. I fancy myself as a low roller as well.
Good, fitting right in. There are a lot of insights in the playbook about trends and innovations. I want to start with your take on the trending topic that has dominated our lives most of this year, prediction markets. Our audience has heard all about it from my perspective and Jeff's perspective as journalists.
Sure.
Curious for your perspective. How ready for this movement were you, and where do you see it all going?
Well, never a dull day. I've been around gaming for now almost 30 years. So I started, as an equity research analyst when I was 10 years old. But in all seriousness, this is really the most dynamic period I've ever seen in my entire career. And I spent the first, 20 plus years really focused on land-based gaming, right? Then PASPA happened that we all dove right into kind of the digital side. And that's really where I spend my time every day as an investment banker. But it's fascinating because this category, if you ask me about Kalshi, for instance, before November of 2024, I would have said, well, it's kind of an also ran. They've raised a little bit of money, but it doesn't have any traction. And then fast forward, call it, almost a year later, it's a nuclear arms race where everybody's jumping into it, whether it's upstarts, crypto exchanges, fintech businesses, some of the with yesterday's news around the DFS world jumping into the category. It's certainly a dynamic space. I think the punchline is prediction markets are here to stay. I think it's going to be a piece of the mosaic, right? The average consumer, they just want to place a bet. They don't really care, honestly, about all the nuances and mechanics around it, whether it's legal or not. Who's behind it? They want to get a bet down. So I think this is sort of another arrow in the quiver as a consumer. And whether you're opening up your iPhone, you've got Kalshi or DraftKings or Underdog, they're going to be embracing this product.
Here to stay, I think most people would agree with.
Yeah.
I have seen some pushback though in terms of how profitable the prediction markets can be. Do you have a particular position on that, whether they're
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's early days. I think there's different strokes for different folks. I think there's sort of this holy grail of a one wallet concept. So if you're Robinhood, Maybe this is a loss leader to get, all three of us to open up a Robinhood brokerage account or have our some of our deposits or a credit card. But I think, realistically, it's probably going to be a pretty low margin product on a standalone basis for a little while. And I, hopefully we're not going to repeat the mistakes that we made back in 2020 and 2021. But, we probably are going to see a bit of a nuclear arms race in terms of marketing spend and promotion and customer acquisition. So just when we thought, the sports betting industry was focused on profitability, we might be turning back the clock a couple of years, which is really kind of honestly a negative for the land-based incumbents as well as sort of the new incumbents, whether it's DK or Flutter.
Something just popped into my head while you were talking, and I haven't thought of this question before. I haven't heard it asked anywhere else before, so I'm just going to throw it out there. If Texas and California had their ducks in a row previously, if sports betting was legalized there in 18, 19, 20, along with the other 38 states, do you think we'd be in a position right now where these prediction markets would be catching so much fire?
That's a great question. I would say probably not, right? I mean, the thing I've always loved about gaming, whether you're talking about domestically, internationally, I used to go to Macau a lot, and there's always a workaround. There's always someone, if there's an arbitrage opportunity or a creative way to solve the problem, someone's going to ultimately find it. I worked with a company in the past that basically commercialized historical horse racing machines, right? That was sort of uncharted territory 15 years ago, then a couple of court wins, and now that's suddenly a mainstream product that's in roughly 10 states domestically. So, yeah, I think the fact that California, Texas couldn't really get their act together, I think this certainly, that's a great point, Jeff, kind of opened up this opportunity. We'll see what that happens. And I think maybe if you're going sort of part two of your question, how do the Native American tribes feel about this? I think, my suspicion is they're very skeptical, but there's a lot of those groups, and some are very fearful of dealing with the federal government for obvious, historical reasons. If you're the Seminoles, you're looking at, hey, wow, we've got this monopoly in Florida. We're doing really, really well with it. Now we're going to have this competition, on a federal basis coming over the top. You look at other tribes like the Mohegan Group up in Connecticut. They've been doing really, really well. They've built a substantial digital business. We talk to that group regularly. And then you have the other people that haven't really jumped in or dove in, whether it's some of the prominent tribes in Oklahoma or, the myriad of tribes in California. I think the jury is out, and in terms of how those groups see this opportunity and whether they want to get involved as well.
Here's an unfair question that kind of like touches on all this. When PASPA fell and the predictions started coming in on who was going to be the leader in the sports book world, nobody was saying DraftKings FanDuel, right? Like if now 2020 hindsight, it was so obvious that it was going to be DraftKings
Yeah.
FanDuel, but nobody, everyone thought it was going to be the old timers, the Caesars, whatever. So looking forward in a few years, like I again from the low roller perspective, right? I feel like it's hard for me to like get off of DraftKings FanDuel today and start all brand new on Kalshi and and learn a little bit of
Yeah.
a new way to do things. Do you looking forward, do you see a path for them to actually like in our world, let me refresh.
Yeah.
In our world, this is the biggest news going, the prediction
Sure.
markets. But
Yeah. Yeah.
is it percolating to Joe and Jane average better out there, do you think?
That's a great question. And, I think we're all super deep in the weeds in this industry. This is kind of our day job and our passion. But, like this week's back to school week, and then, you're dropping the kids off at school and you're running into the other dads that you haven't seen all summer. And in my own casual surveys of talking to the dads, on the block, it's like, hey, they all know what I do for a living. It's like, hey, are you betting US Open? What do you think for the football season? And I'll sort of throw out that, hey, have you heard of like prediction markets? Like, you ever heard of Kalshi? And usually I get that kind of glaze over the face, like, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh, it's coming. This is going to be a really big deal. But I don't think it's caught the mainstream consciousness yet. But sort of back to my earlier comments around kind of marketing spend, customer acquisition, right? If you have a Robinhood account or XYZ brokerage account or crypto account, you're probably going to see this capability on your app sooner than later. And I think it is going to get into sort of the mainstream zeitgeist. And again, back to my kind of initial comment, I think it's just going to be another, you've got three or four apps on your phone that you use religiously. And, the first one you pull up and you can find that market available, you're going to place a bet.
Do you think going about marketing spend? I mean, going back to like the crazy days of post PASPA. I remember Caesars was offering up to like $5,000 in matching funds. Money back. Whatever they called it. But like, do you see them going like that route?
I don't, that's a great question. I don't think all the incumbents and everybody that sort of lived through this cycle is going to,
Well, the new guys, the
the new
Kalshis,
guys,
the
absolutely. I mean, listen, they're raising billions of dollars, right? I mean, Kalshi just raised what, another 2 billion, and I'm sure there's a few other big folks with, big checks not that far behind. So I don't think those groups have sort of the battle scars of having lived through kind of that insanity. And again, they're dealing with, the challenge I think that I face as a banker, and I think the industry has typically faced on the purely regulated side, is there's not tons and tons of really huge venture capital, institutional pools of capital that want to invest in the space. But when you start talking about this new world of crypto, fintech adjacent, there's a lot of money that can be put to work, and some of these people may have an appetite to spend like drunken sailors.
Right.
So I think the existing kind of pure OSB guys are going to be focused on retention and who are my best customers and how do I keep them engaged? Do I send them tickets to live concerts or sporting events? How do I kind of keep my best players? The new guys, I think, are going to come in and spend very aggressively for customer acquisition because they certainly have to build awareness for these folks that maybe, they want to take away from the traditional OSBs, or really, I'd say more of that casual audience that, again, maybe they've got a crypto account, but they haven't gone down the rabbit hole on sports betting. Maybe you're going after a different demographic, maybe more women that you weren't targeting previously. So I think that's really kind of where we're going to go with sort of the marketing spend.
All right. So football season is here. Games getting underway this week in the NFL. I know you're invested in and believe in a lot of different companies out there. Give me one in particular that you really see gathering steam this football season. Is there a betting product out there that you feel is like really right on the verge of breaking through and catching on that we're going to be hearing a lot about this football season?
That's a great question. I mean, I think there's just a lot of different apps there. It's really sort of hard to pinpoint one. I think, the category I think that's actually quite interesting that I think continues to gain real steam and momentum are a lot of the betting tools. Maybe I'll talk my book up a little bit, but
Sure.
I am an individual investor in a few different companies, but one group that I invested in a few years ago that's really getting some critical mass is Pickett. This is a group that has really become sort of one of the essential, betting tool apps out there. They've got north of 700,000 users, and I think they've done a great job of really continuing to invest in the product, expand the capabilities, and really making this sort of a one-stop shop for the consumer as they get smart on what they're going to be, betting on, upcoming games, et cetera, analyzing sort of their betting history, their profitability, success, getting other, community advice. So I think that's another interesting one. The other one that again, I'll shamelessly plug a little bit. I really started out as a fan. I got a warm introduction to Brian Burt from Gritty. And this is just a game. I don't know if you guys have come across this one, but this has really become sort of the Wordle of DFS, and it's essentially a free-to-play game, but they've flipped to monetization in the last couple of months. They actually did announce a partnership recently with Novig from a customer acquisition perspective, which I think just launched a couple of days ago and is quite interesting. But this is really something that even if you're not, and I don't consider myself a fantasy sports player, but if you're fluent on who the players are and what teams they're playing from, and you really sort of like that Wordle, Duolingo, New York Times games, crosswords, kind of brain teaser, this is something that's, really in my day-to-day usage. I think they launched roughly 6 months ago, and they've completed nearly 3 million drafts and are really starting to get some critical momentum. And this is a trend that I kind of spoken about and talked about in some of our publications at X Capital is, you're starting to see a really interesting sample set of emerging founders that come from a lineage of other innovative companies. So I met Brian Burt, the founder of Gritty, probably a year ago through Sleeper. And Sleeper, I think if you're going to ask me another app that has a ton of momentum and traction, and maybe that's considered a more seasoned, mature app. It's obviously been around for a long time, but they're doing quite well as Sleeper. But Brian was on the product side as Sleeper, kind of had this epiphany around sort of a free-to-play fun game that would be similar to these New York Times type games or Wordle, et cetera, and came up with this concept, and it's really starting to get steam. So I'm constantly running across young founders looking to raise capital or monetize their business where they've got some scale and momentum, where they happen to come from a PrizePicks or a Sleeper or an Underdog or some of these other interesting companies that maybe were sort of the next big thing, 5, 6, 7 years ago.
This is all incredibly unintentionally up my alley as a Philly sports fan. You named Gritty the Flyers mascot and Pickett the former Eagles backup quarterback. So it's two for two
Yeah,
there.
spelled differently, but
Right.
yeah.
One topic that we could probably do a half hour on, but I'll sort of get your quick take. And I can't believe Jeff hasn't asked this question yet already, as this is his favorite topic in the world. But how is AI going to change things in our industry? What's the maybe in just the short
Yeah.
term, like this season, do you see a particular impact with regard to like the personalization and stuff like that coming from AI?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the personalization. You're seeing a lot of different betting tools out there. You get back to my comments around kind of the betting tool apps. There's a lot of them out there that claim to give you some sort of statistical advantage. I think there is some substance and truth to some of that hype out there. But back to my just last comment around the word hype. We all have a little bit of gray hair on this call here, and I think we've all lived through kind of the dot-com 1.0 cycle in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I think there's a lot of that going on. I think there's a lot of AI washing. I'm pretty skeptical when I meet companies that say, switch their name from XYZ company to now XYZ.AI. I think there's a lot of that out there. And I think, smart investors and other kind of folks are able to hopefully sort of read through it. I think where we're going to see it, have a real impact is probably behind the scenes from a B2B perspective, from an operational perspective. When I'm talking to different CFOs, for instance, like, how are you integrating AI into your business? It's like, Joel, to get more efficient. If we can do things with less humans and we can automate some of that back end work, maybe we had a gigantic trading team, traditional OSB. You probably need less of those people. You can leverage some of these tools from the B2B suppliers that are utilizing this technology. I know we're kind of talking about sports, but I also talk to a lot of iGaming companies and companies that are running game studio businesses that make content. And like if you were making a slot machine for BetMGM or the DraftKings, casino product, it would probably take in the past 18 months to develop one slot machine title. So think of it like a movie studio making, the next blockbuster film. There's just a lot of bodies and a lot of humans behind that. A lot of the folks that I'm talking to are really integrating these tools to just accelerate that process, bring that game development time down from 18 months to a year, because now some of that art that was being made by humans in the past can be leveraged by AI. I mean, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole on copyright infringement and what could pop up from that, but I think everybody is doing, looking at AI as how do I use this to save expenses and cost in my business? So it might be less apparent to the consumer, but from an operational perspective, I think it's going to have a real impact near term.
Now, last question from me here. Now, and for listeners, this is obviously mostly on podcast form, but we do put a little clip up on Twitter so people will see you and they'll see your lovely bookshelf. And I'm just curious, are we looking to kill all the bankers or just individual bankers?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm a big skier when I'm not working, and this is a ski run at Revelstoke, which is like insanely dangerous. I've actually never gone down, even though I'm like a two handy. I was a two handicap skier before I blew my knee out a few years ago. But a client of mine on the iGaming side who happened to be skiing out there said, "Hey, if you go to the merch shop and they have a kill the banker, bring it back." Yeah, I don't take myself that seriously. So I think having kill the banker in the background,
Very good.
unless it's a laugh.
Yes, it did.
All right, so, and finish with a quick football topic. I
Yeah.
know even though you're from Philly, you are for some reason you decided to be a Jets fan. Complete this sentence for me. Justin Fields will finish this fantasy season as QB number what?
29 in terms of
Oh.
performance. No, I'm cautiously optimistic. I think it's going to be she's going to be check down Charlie is kind of my expectation at this point. I did just get a breaking news alert. We lost Elijah Vera Tucker likely for the season. So just so Jets, the season had started
It's already
already
falling
falling
apart,
apart.
huh?
Yeah, it's already a disaster.
Actually, I'll put you on the spot to tell a quick story because in the playbook I read I know where this story is headed, but our listeners may not. Do you mind quickly telling the story about attending a certain Jets Patriots game many years ago?
I mean, true story. And again, I didn't grow up playing football, but as I'm a casual football fan, I've watched, plenty over the years. And I remember sitting in the end zone with my wife. This is like pre-kids when we weren't, our weekends weren't wrapped up with sporting events for our kids and other activities. And we're sitting in the end zone, I think section 120 of the old, Giant Stadium. And it was the first game of the season. I'm sitting next to my wife who does TV sports production. She's actually working on the field at this weekend's Jets Steelers game, which is going to be interesting. But I literally lean over her because it seemed like the Patriots were just able to anticipate every single play right at the snap. And I go, honey, it's like they know the plays. And then, a year or so later, probably less than a year later, that was the infamous Spygate game. So I true story, God is my witness. I definitely called the Spygate activity.
Impressive. That I
It
think
was a
that
week
speech,
later it came out, but
right.
it's
But no,
very obvious.
that speaks to your acumen in identifying trends and where things are going. You were well ahead of the curve on that one. Well, it was great talking to you, Joel. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. Everyone can go to xstcapital.com to learn more. Thanks so much for joining us on Low
Thanks,
Rollers.
guys. I appreciate it.
Our thanks again to Joel, the man who uncovered Spygate. I want to give a quick shout out to our friends at props.com, specifically Justin Bales and his daily recommendations for over under strikeout prop bets. I happened to start reading his articles on this topic last week, started acting on all of his recommendations that sounded strong to me, which has been most of them. But, occasionally he'll have one where the explanation isn't winning me over. Anyway, I have now bet 13 over under strikeout props in the last 9 days, and they've gone 10-3. He knows his shit. He's crushing it. And I, in turn, am beefing up my betting bankroll nicely just ahead of NFL season, which is great. This is the time of year when I want to have a little more money in my account. That said, I will now balance my celebration of success with a quick whine about a bad-ish beat. I also, on props.com's recommendation, I bet the Nerfy in yesterday's Dodgers-Pirates game. The no run first inning for anyone out there who doesn't know what a nerfy is. Dodgers blanked in the top of the first. Pirates' first two batters get out. Third batter, 1-2 count, one strike away from a win, proceeds to foul off pitch after pitch. It becomes a 12 pitch at bat. I'm just refreshing the DK Live app, tracking the at bat when suddenly I see the score change to 1-0. Fouled off a million two strike pitches and then hit a homer.
That's
But
brutal.
it's okay. Can't win them all. Thanks to Justin Bales, I'm winning most of them.
There you go. All right, one thing we didn't touch on earlier that I'll touch on here. Matthew Boyer off to prison.
Ah, yes, right.
I'm having a hard time understanding why. I lowercase you understand why. I mean, he broke the law. He was a bookmaker. He filed a false tax return, apparently. Money laundering, which is all part and parcel of being an illegal bookmaker. But, he's not the only illegal bookmaker out there. Like, we know that, right? The legal sportsbook business and casino business and gambling world and lotteries alive and well. So the guy booked some bets for some people who probably couldn't get their bets down elsewhere. I don't know. Not exactly an American hero, but he's not exactly the Joker or Lex Luthor either. But at least now that Boyer's going to jail, no one will make an illegal bet anymore. I cannot even imagine the time, the energy, and the cost that it takes and took to investigate, arrest, prosecute, and house him in prison for the year. Well, at least fentanyl is off the streets. The following will now be an audible rendition of an eye roll. Oh, sheesh, old man. All right, until next week, we're low rollers. Small stakes and hot takes.